We are up to the second perek of Eicha, an important limud, not always the most joyous of ways to start the day, but certainly important to look at the text that we're very familiar with, but maybe have not looked into in as much depth. So perek beis pasak aleph, and again the same pattern holds. The same pattern holds true of the. Eight, beginning with Eicha and for Aleph, and each of the Psukim going in order of the Aleph base, with perhaps one exception that hopefully we'll point out a little bit later. So their parak begins, Eicha yo'iv ba'apo ad Hashem es bas tzion, hishlich mishamayim eretz tiferes Yisrael, velo zachar adom raglav biyom apo. So Eicha, how can it be right that Hashem in his anger has clouded over Bas Tzion, right? Clouding over is an expression of has brought darkness, right? That's when, during the day, when suddenly things become dark, it's because the clouds come overhead. And he brought down from upon the Jews the Tiferes Yisrael, meaning the way that some of them first, and Rashi explains it, was that this happened very quickly. Sometimes you'll have a nation that's brought down gradually, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu once, again, he gave all of the warnings through the Navi, but once he reached the point where something had to be done, it all happened, or it seems to happen, very, very suddenly. V'lo zachar adom raglav, and he did not remember his footstool. What does the footstool refer to? So the Chazal tells that it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was his place in our world. And the point is that Biyom HaPo, on the day when the punishment was deserved and the wrath of God needed to be unleashed, it didn't matter that even his own Beis HaMikdash was then destroyed. Bilo Hashem, and God swallowed, he consumed. Vilo Chamal Eis Kol Neos Yaakov. Haras Bevrasom Vivtzirei Bas Yudah Yil Aretz Chila Mamlacha Visareha. So he did not have any mercy on the houses of Yaakov, and in his anger, he brought down, he destroyed, he raised the fortresses of Bas Yehudah down to the ground, and he even profaned the kingdom and its leaders. What does the Navi seem to mean here? Is that the Yerushalayim, which is, again, in Bas Yehudah, is the Ir Mivtzar, is a fortress. It's a very, very strong city. It's impenetrable. So what does it mean that he had that destroyed? So Haras Bev Tzaro, Mivtzar Bas Yehudah, he destroyed. The Medrash points out, what does it say? It doesn't say that the enemy is destroyed. It says that God himself destroyed. And that seems to be what happened. There was no way that they could do it. Hashem had to intervene in order to allow that the enemies would be able to destroy. Because again, it was built with such a strength, and there was no way that it would be able to be destroyed on its own. But when the time came, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed for it to be destroyed. Gada b'chariyaf kol keren Yisrael heishiv achor yimino mipnei oyev vayivar b'yakov ke'esh lahava. Achla saviv, right? He gada is a language of cutting down. Now, usually, we cut down in his anger, kol keren Yisrael, the horn of Israel. Now, that term of keren, we know is one which has specific significance to it, and because we know when we yearn and we daven for Mashiach to come, it's keren Mashicho, because the Mashiach happened from a keren. That was how they anointed. That's how they anointed the king. So the fact that he cut down kol keren Yisrael, any remnant of what was going to be the malucha, going to be the kingdom, going to be the permanence of Klal Yisrael, in terms of where it was right now, was destroyed. But gada, some of the mafreshim points out, is usually used to cut down the branches, not to cut down at the root. And that's an important point, because even when he cut down, he left the root in place. Because when you leave the root in place, then there is at least potential that it can grow back, right? You prune it, you cut down the branches when you need to do something, you need to take some sort of action. But if you want it to have the potential to grow back, you need to leave something in place, and that was what he did. Heishiv achor yimino mipnei oyev. Right, he drew back his right hand in the presence of his enemy. What does that mean? So Rashi explains is that the way that the Jews always fought was God was alongside them. So he, when they were out fighting, he held back. He restrained himself and didn't engage in this fight, which again would have meant that Bnei Yisrael would have been victorious. And then it was all consuming of Yerushalayim itself. Pasuk Dalet. Darach kashto ki oyev nitzav yimino kitzar, vayaharol komach hamade ayin be'orvas tzion, shafach ko'esh chamoso. He bent his keshes, his bow, just like the enemy. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi explains that when the archers draw their bows, right, they use their they step into it. They have to use their legs in order to get the appropriate power and to get the upper body and to be able to propel the arrow where it needs to go. And the same thing here also, God was fully engaged. His Midas Hadin was fully attacking Klal Yisrael, Vayiro Kal Macham Adayin, and all of those the precious things. What does that refer to? So the Medrash here says the Kal Macham Adayin either refers to the children or to the members of the Sanhedrin. I mean, groups that have either made a large contribution to Torah or have that potential. And they were part, and that's part of what Yirmiyahu is mourning as well, is that this destruction was something which was complete. It was really, it hit them from all sides. Pasuk Hey. Haya Hashem Koyev Bila Yisrael Bila Kol Armeosa Shiches Mibzarav Vayerev Vivas Yehuda Ta'aniya Vaniya. So Hashem became like the enemy. What does that mean? He became like the enemy. So the same way the enemy attacks. But what's important is that he became like the enemy, and he did not become the enemy. Right? There was always that relationship was still remains, and there were times that he has to act with Klal Yisrael the same way that the enemy does. But he's not the enemy. He's not the enemy. There is a plan, and he's looking for them to come back. And that's why when Bila Yisrael, when he consumed the Jews, when he consumed the citadels, and he destroyed the fortresses, all of these things were done with a purpose. They were done with the purpose of trying to bring Klal Yisrael back. And in the end, it increased within the Jewish people, ta'aniyah v'aniyah, agony and grief. Which again means that they felt the effect. Now, did they do anything about it? Not quite yet. Not quite yet. But it was certainly beginning to weigh on them the degree of this terrible, terrible tragedy. Pasuk Vav. Vayachmos kagan suko shiches moado shikach Hashem b'tzion moed b'shavas vayinat b'zamapo melech v'kohen. So he stripped his booth. Right, sukkah, like a garden. Right, sometimes the sin and the samach are used interchangeably. It's a topic for a different time, but right, the question of whether the letter sin really exists on its own or not. Usually, when we count the letters of the alphabet and we say that there are 22 letters, that does not include a sin. But to say that a sin is just, you know, because you move the dot, it's the same letters, that's the question. Is it the same as the shin, or is it the same as the pronunciation, which is a samach? Oftentimes in acrostics and things like that, we do find times where it certainly is replaced with the sound. But again, that's a discussion for a different time, again, what the nature of the sin is. But it seems to be that's what he's referring to here as well. It's when most of the Farshim explain Sukkot, which would refer again to the Beis HaMikdash. Like a garden, what does it mean, like a garden? When you know when the garden grows, you have to cut it down, and then it grows back. Then it grows back again. But right now, he destroyed it. And shiches moado, he destroyed his moed. What is his moed? A moed is a meeting place. So his moed is the Beis HaMikdash. And through that, shikach Hashem b'tzion moed b'shavas. Yontif and Shabbos were forgotten. Were they completely forgotten? No, they weren't completely forgotten. But they had a completely different identity without having a Beis HaMikdash. Right? The entire experience that Klal Yisrael had on these special days, especially Yontif, but even when it comes to Shabbos, all of these days now had a different nature. In that sense, were somewhat forgotten. And and he spurned the king and the Kohen. Seems to refer to the Mepharshim explained to Tzidkio and Seraya, who were the chief Kohen and the king at the time. There was nothing that was going to sway him at this point, right? Any specific tefillah, right? He needed full tshuva by the Jewish people. It was not going to be sufficient for them simply to have somebody trying to daven on their behalf. Pasuk Zayin, Zanach Hashem izibcho niyer mikdasho, yizgir biyad oyev chamos amroseo, kol nasnu beves Hashem, kiyom moed. Right, he rejected his mizbech and abolished his sanctuary again, mourning the loss of his Beis HaMikdash, and he gave over to the enemy the walls of the city, and they brought up a great a clamor and noise and reveling about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash as though it was a festival day. So for the guy who were destroying this was a yontif. This was as exciting as you could get, and for Hashem and for the Jewish people, it was a day of mourning. Chashav Hashem lashchis chamas basion natakov lo yishiv yodom yibaleya vayavel chel v'choma yachtov umlalum. Right, Hashem had resolved to destroy the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, and what does that mean? Lashchis chamas basion natakov. So he decided to do them. What does it mean, natakav? He stretched out the line. So I think the Imri Emes writes that normally natakav is something you use to, when you measure. When do you measure? You don't measure when you destroy something. You measure when you build something, right? The contractor doesn't have to come make the precise measurements when they're knocking down the structure. When they're coming to build, everything has to be precise. So the Imri Emes says that the idea is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that even when I'm destroying the Beis HaMikdash, I'm already natakav. I already put into place the construction of the future Beis HaMikdash. There are plans for that next Beis HaMikdash, which is going to come. And again, that's similar to what the Gemara says. The Gemara in Megillah, it's a Gemara in Baba Basra as well, says that when you have to knock down a shul in order to build a new one, you should build the new one first and then knock down the old one. We have this idea of trying to perpetuate the first one before we do anything to the other one. Pasuk Tes, Tavu Ba'aret She'areha, right? The gates sunk down into the ground. And the Medrash says that since the gates opened up to show kavod for the Aron, when the Aron needed to come, they opened up on their own. And especially because the gates were not destroyed. They actually, Hashem pushed them down into the ground instead of having them destroy it. Ibad Vishibar Berichaha. The hinges and the bars that those were destroyed. Malkav esareh bagoyim ein Torah gam neviyel amatzu chazon me Hashem, and their king and their officers from amongst the nations, right, that they were taking over, and ein Torah meaning there was no Torah. There's no Torah leadership. There was no king. There was no navi. There was no talmid chacham. Everything was destroyed. And even the Neviim, lo matzu chazon me'Hashem, they did not have the ability to get the nevuah that was necessary from Hashem in order to shift and in order to turn the people. Pasuk Yud, Yeshvu la'aretz yidmu ziknei bas tzion, he'alu afar al roshan chagru sakim, horidu la'aretz roshan bisulos Yerushalayim. They sit on the ground and they are silent. So this, again, refers to the effects. The elders, the Zakenim, who saw what happened, they sat on the ground in mourning. This is one of the Mekoros that's brought down why we sit on the ground on Tisha B'Av. Right? That was an expression of the mourning that they had at the time, as Yirmiyahu writes over here. And they sat on the ground again, and with ashes on their head, and they're wearing sackcloth, and they understand that this punishment has come. As a result of that, kolubad ma'os einai chamar meru me'ai nishbach la'aretz kevedi ashevra basami be'otef olel v'yonek birchavos kirya. And as a result of this, and seeing what's going on, this seems to be a personal reflection now of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. I'm crying until I run out of tears. My kishkas are falling out. The kaved is the liver. There's this deep emotion that I'm feeling about the tragedy that has bestowed that has fallen upon the people. and there are little babies strewn about on the streets. Again, there's a terrible, terrible hunger and tragedy that is going on. And they're saying in Pasuk Yud Beis, "Imo sam yomruah yedogam diayin." They're saying to their mothers, "Where is bread and wine? Where is something for us to eat?" Bisatfam kechalav berchavos ir, as they're lying like people who are dying on the streets of the city. Bishtapech nafsham mechekim osam, and they're throwing their souls to their mothers, asking them to help them with anything. Now again, the Mefarshim point out obviously that the wine was not what the children were looking to drink. But the point is, they were saying, "Give us any, even wine. We'll take anything. We just need something to be able to sustain us." And there was nothing that was there. The destruction was just an utter, complete destruction. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ma'idech ma'adam elach abas Yerushalayim. Ma'ash velach v'anachameich besulas bas Tzion. Ki gadol kayom shivreich mi'ir pelach. With what can I bear witness for you, and to what can I compare you? Meaning, who else has seen this type of destruction? There's nothing like this. There's no other nation, the Medrash comments, that has experienced firsthand all the goodness from God. But at the same time, there's no nation who seems to have fallen so quickly and been ravaged in such a way. What can? There's no way that I can comfort you. Right, I want to try, and it's human nature that we try to comfort somebody who is suffering. I don't have the words, I don't have the wherewithal to bring any nechama. Why? Ki gadol kayom shivrich mir pelach. Right, the ruin that has taken place is as big as the sea. Nobody's going to be able to hear you from that. And the Al-Sheikh writes that it's compared to the sea, because just like the waves fall one on top of the other, every time there was someone's tragedy, just kept falling more and more and more, and brought them to where they are at this point. Right, your prophets, your Nevi'im, who you, the ones that you were trying to rely on, they deceived you. They did not help to bring you back. Again, this seems to refer to not to the legitimate prophets, but to the false prophets that they had. Yirmiyahu was trying everything he could to bring them back, but they were looking towards the prophets to show them what they want. They revealed to you nothingness. But they didn't reveal your sins. And if you don't know what your sins are, then there's no way to fix it. You have to know that there's a problem in order to be able to move on from it. Pasuk Tesvav. Safku alayach kapayim, kolove derech shorku vayoni rosham abas Yerushalayim, hazos sa'ir shemru klas yofi masos lechol haaretz. Anybody who was passing by was clapping hands at you, meaning they were making fun. The nations of the world, the enemies that came by, saw this is what happened to Jewish people. This is cause to celebrate. And they would say, "Is this the city which was called Klias Yofi, the perfection of beauty, and the most joyous place on the? How could this happen?" And again, it was a tremendous Chilul Hashem that the nation, that the people who stood for so much, who represented Hashem in this world, were destroyed in such a way. But it was a Chilul Hashem that we brought upon ourselves. Patsu alayach b'yem kol avayach sharaku v'ayach harkushen amru bilano. Ach ze ayom shekivinuhu matzanu ra'inu. Right, all of your enemies jeered at you, and they gnashed their teeth, and we've destroyed her. And this is the day that we longed for. We finally found it. Now, if you notice, here we went out of order, right? Because ayin comes before pay, and here we have pay before ayin. So Rashi points that out. And he says, "Mipnei ma hiktim pei la'ayin." Why is the pei coming for the ayin if we're going in alphabetical order? Mipnei shayomrim b'fiyem ma shelo ra'u b'einehem. They would say with their mouths that which their eyes did not even see. What does that mean? So it's a reference to a Gemara in Sanhedrin that actually refers to this week's parsha. Refers to the episode of the Meraglim that they spoke with their mouths what they had not even seen. Right? They wanted to see, and it sort of affected them in that way. So here also, these were the people who wanted to, they spoke about what it was before they even saw it. They were so excited, right, the nation of the world, to see the destruction. This is what they were always wishing for. And they said, right, the day that we had been waiting for and that we had hoped was going to come, we finally see it. This is the, for them, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was a cause to celebrate. Asa Hashem Asher Zamam. God carried out his plan. Like Bitsayim and Raso Asher Tzivayim Ekedem, that he had already commanded from the earlier days. Haras Velo Chamal. And he destroyed, he did not have any mercy. And the enemies rejoiced. What is it stressing that God did what he had planned to do? So it seems to be there, Navi is making 2 points here. A, is that in the end God follows through. And when he warns through the Nevi'im that this is what is going to happen, then again, man makes plans and doesn't necessarily execute. God executes, and that in of itself is a praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he doesn't just talk. What does it mean, Mimekedem? This goes back to the Tovacha. This isn't even these Nevi'im. I told you from the beginning, if you follow what the Torah says, then everything's going to be okay. If you don't follow, it's not going to be okay. There's no chiddush in what happened. Now, this should have been expected. Tzaak li b'mel Hashem. Chomas bastion. Horidi kanachel dimor yomam v'layla. Al titni fugas lach. Al tidom bas enech. Pasuk here in Pasuk Yudches, right? Their heart cried out to Hashem. And the Bastion, they shed tears like a river day and night with no respite, right? Don't let the apple of your eye be still. What is the what's the Navi getting at here? So who is this referring to? So Akli Bamal Hashem, is this referring to the nation? Is it referring to the enemies? Who are we talking about? So the Ibn Ezra seems to say that it's referring to the enemy. Right, that they were the ones who were celebrating, but others suggest that no, this is finally the Jews taking a turn, and they saw the destruction, and they saw what happened, and now, right, so Achli Bamal Hashem, they turned to Hashem and were crying out, and didn't like what they said, and they kumi in the next pasuk, Roni Balayla L'Rosh Hashbros Shivchi Kamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem. Or at least it was the if it wasn't the Navi, it wasn't the Bnei Yisrael, it was the Navi telling them, look, you see what's happening now. Pour your heart to the Shem. See, love kapayach al nefesh olaleich atofin berav berosh kol chutzos. You get up at night at the beginning of the Yashmuros of the night and pour out your heart. Right, lift up your hands to Hashem, and hopefully who will bring us from hunger at every street corner. So again, the Navi here seems to be talking and saying, this is your wake-up call. You see what's happening, and now take advantage of it. Take advantage of tefillah. There's rina, and there's different types of tefillah, and there's tefillah which takes place at night, which is special. And there's avodas halev, is refers to tefillah. Lift up your hands, right? These are all different forms of tefillah. There involves the lev. It involves Moshe Rabbeinu. Put up his hands in tefillah. It's all different. This is your opportunity. Re'e Hashem v'habita l'mi alal toko im tochalnu Hashem per yom olei tibuchim yereg mikdash Hashem kohen v'navi. And now the Navi turns towards Hashem and he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what's happened. Look at how terrible things are. And see the what it's gone. Mothers again forced to becoming cruel, eating their own children. As the Tochalnu Hashem per yom, has this ever happened before? This is such a terrible, terrible thing. It is time to bring them back. Im yerig mikdash Hashem kohen v'navi. Right. This is the we have this. The Gemara in Gittin tells the story of the killing of Zechariah, who was both the Kohen and he was the Navi, and he rebuked the people, and he was killed in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom HaKippurim. And he understands that this was a terrible thing, but again, they've reached rock bottom, and they've seen it all, and because of this, they've suffered, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu let them help them out. We've seen it. The destruction is vast. And the streets are lay young and old. And young men, they fall by the sword. There has been terrible, terrible wrath. You already killed them. You showed no mercy. You showed no mercy. And therefore, it's time to hope that maybe there's going to be an end to this. And that's the last post. Tikra ki yom avayin megurai misaviv v'lo haya b'yom af Hashem palit b'sarit asher tipachti v'ribisi oivi chilam. Right? You invited on a ki yom avayin, like a festival time, that the enemy to come in. And again, they came in the same with the same excitement and with the number of people like would come on a Yom Tov to the Beis HaMikdash. And the evil neighbors that were there, they've taken advantage. And there's nobody who was able to escape from it. And even those who were most cherished have been wiped out by the enemy. And as a result of that, Kal Yisrael maybe has begun to see it. But that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you followed through on what you said you were going to do. But now we turn towards Hashem and hope. Again, the Nevuah is not over yet. The next parak actually is the longest of the parak. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to actually finish that, but we'll figure that out. But as Yirmiyahu was a much more personal statement. But here he lays out everything that's happened, the terrible destruction. It shouldn't have been a surprise. We should have avoided it. But now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the destruction is there, and now it's time to move forward. That once Klal Yisrael are affected by it, then hopefully they'll be able to move forward from it.